present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel gaze. At the piano is Colin Sell and your chairman is Humphrey Nyttelton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week at the London Coliseum in the heart of the West End's theatreland. This fine theatre is found on St Martin's Lane, nestling between the districts of Soho and Covent Garden. In addition to its many shops and bars, Covent Garden is also home to the London Transport Museum, where visitors can enjoy a static display of vintage underground carriages. Alternatively, they can save a few quid by taking a trip on the Northern Line. At the beginning of World War II, Covent Garden had become rundown and seedy. It's recorded that a young German woman named Helga Schmidt, suspected of being a spy, was hidden in a loft here by a notorious spiv who protected her in return for sexual favours. What a relief it was for Fräulein Schmidt when she learned the war was over. In 1978. We are today guests of the London Coliseum, which in the Edwardian era ran horse races here on the theatre's famous revolving stage, which operated like a running machine, until one evening when it malfunctioned and suddenly stopped. This explains why the pub next door has four horses' heads on the wall. And above them, the heads of four very surprised little jockeys. In August 1914, the future Queen Mother was brought here by her parents to celebrate her 14th birthday. In the afternoon, they took in a matinee, and on the way home, war was declared on Germany, although she said she'd have been just as happy with a pony. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Stephen Fry. And please welcome the lady who never seems to tire of handling the team's points. It's our scorer, the delightful Samantha. Okay, this week we start with round one. It's all about questions that were never asked, but which, if they had been, could have measurably improved subsequent events. An obvious example is, why don't we skip this and go straight to the closing credits? Barry, would you care to start, please?
George Bush Sr., do you think I should have a vasectomy?
Tim.
Noah. Shall we say yes to Mr. and Mrs. Unicorn?
Graham?
Goliath, aren't you going to wear your helmet?
Stephen?
Colonel Sanders, you will tell me if this tastes like crap, won't you?
King Harold, perhaps you'd like to take advantage of our special Specsaver reading glasses.
Mr. Blunkett, do you realise that's a man with a high voice you're chatting up?
Yes.
Tony Blair, what do you think? Should we send the troops in, or should I sit down and spend just 5 minutes thinking the thing through?
Oh, what a fantastic wooden horse. Anybody in there?
Bill Gates. Should we test this software before releasing it?
King Alfred, are you sure the recipe says Fahrenheit?
Mr. Bumble. So, Master Twist, would you like seconds?
Light Brigade, do you feel lucky?
The Hakims are going to sing for us now in the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. The most obvious way to explain this is to imagine that a song is a washing machine. The washer itself represents the tune which holds the clothes or words. Once the clothes or words have been washed or sung, the clothes or words may be removed to be replaced by another set of washing. However, these might not be clothes, as they could be bed linen or even woolens. Now, I know what you're thinking, team. Surely woolen garments are too delicate for a machine wash. Well, yes, they are. So why were you thinking of putting them in there? It's not as if they've got anything to do with one song to the tune of another. And also, you're no doubt thinking, which is the best machine, a top loader or one with a side door? I'd recommend avoiding the top loader, because if you let someone who doesn't know what they're doing lift the lid, you're in for a terrible mess. At the piano, Colin South. Okay, Barry, you can start. I'd like you to sing Tennyson's lovely Come Into the Garden, Maud, to the tune of Bring Me Sunshine.
Come into the garden, Maud, for the black bat night hath flown. Come into the garden, Maud, I am here at the gate alone, and the woodbine spices are wafted abroad, and the musk of the roses blown for a breeze of morning moons, and the planet of love is on high, beginning to faint in the light that she loves on.
Tim, you now, would you sing the words of Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees to the tune of My Grandfather's Clock?
Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Music loud and women warm, I've been kicked around since I was a boy, and now it's all right, it's okay, and you may look the other way. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on man, whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother. Staying alive, staying alive, feeling the city breaking and everybody shaking. We're staying alive, staying alive, ha 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 ha, staying alive.
Your turn now, Stephen.
No. Yes. It's only the Colosseum, Stephen.
Would you sing the words of Hanky Panky by Madonna to the Archers theme tune?
Some girls, they like candy, and others, they like to grind. I'll settle for the back of your hand on my behind. Treat me like I'm a bad girl, even when I'm being good to you. I don't want you to thank me, you can just spank me too.
Jeremy.
And that was the omnibus edition.
Finally, Graham, would you sing the words of Jake the Peg to the tune of Nausea, Ne Regret, Rien?
Diddle-diddle-um, wherever me know. There's Jake, Jake the pig. Diddly-doo-dum, with his extra leg. Diddly-doo, the day that I was born, my father nearly died. He couldn't get my nappies on, no matter how he tried. Because I was born with an extra leg, and since that day begun, I have learned to stand on my own three feet. Believe me, that is no fun. I'm Jake the Pig, diddly long, with my extra leg, diddly long.
Glancing through my TV listings magazine the other day, I was pleased to notice a late-night programme called ITV Play, and anticipated a cultural experience with an hour or two of Pinter or Akeball. You can imagine my surprise on tuning in to find a pair of chavs asking me to phone up to guess how many sides there are on a triangle. And now the BBC are at it. Well, as a long-term supporter of public service broadcasting, I'll tell them where they can stick their ill-gained profits. Straight in my top pocket. As soon as we finish this week's I'm Sorry I Haven't a Chance premium rate phone quiz. I have a selection of easy questions which I'll invite members of the public to phone in and answer. Each call will cost no more than 10p, unless you're using a landline or a mobile, in which case call it a fiver. As this form of competition can become a problem for anyone prone to addiction, such as the gullible and greedy, who stand to lose thousands each day, we've limited the number of calls that can be made by everyone else. Okay, the lines are open. Now, can you complete this well-known phrase or saying, ignorance is...
9 points on countdown.
No, it's not there. Let's try another. You scratch my back and I'll
call claims direct.
Oh, shame. Let's try another. If you can't beat them,
what's the point of teaching them?
Nope, not your lucky day.
Oh.
Here's another. Can you complete this well-known phrase or saying? As mad as a march...
on Baghdad.
Sorry. How about this one? Be thankful for small...
hemorrhoids.
Nope, not there.
Oh.
What about this one? As happy as a dog with two...
As happy as a dog with two Rett syndrome.
Well, keep trying. How about this? Don't count your chickens before they...
sneeze.
No, never mind. Plenty of time yet. Don't blow your own...
No, indeed, don't blow your own. I've tried it. You can put a muscle...
No, that's not there. How about this? Great minds think...
That's rather the point, isn't it? I thought so. That probably wins £1 million, does it?
No, sorry. Never mind. Plenty more here. How about this? Don't bite off more than you can...
sew back on.
Good. Well, there's not long to go now. Keep those calls coming in. Here. Quickly, can anyone finish off this well-known saying? Better late than...
premature?
No? No? What about this? Better safe than...
premature?
Can anyone finish this off? It takes two to...
it takes two to be the Archbishop of Cape Town.
Well, that's not there. One more chance now. How about this? One swallow doesn't make...
you gay.
That's a relief.
How does a gulp rate?
I'm expected to go on all night with this rubbish. 86, 2 weeks ago, and still reading out this.
Happy birthday, Hom.
Happy birthday.
Please don't clap too long. We don't want to push our luck.
The teams are going to transport us back to the golden age of letter writing now. In fact, the art of letter writing has enjoyed something of a revival recently, and there are even companies that will write proper old-fashioned letters for you if you're not great at grammar or spelling. For example, if you want to write to your bank manager, they'll know whether you spell git with one T or two. There was one company that even wrote bespoke ransom notes. I always refuse to pay them. In this game, each team will take turns to compose a letter, with the two players alternately adding one word each at a time. The opposing team will then compose the reply. Okay, Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Prince Albert to Queen Victoria. And then Tim and Stephen will come up with a reply and so on. And when I honk, it's because I've got nothing better to do. off you go, Barry and Graham.
Dear
Victoria,
I hope that
you
are
feeling
better
now
that
the
winter
has
finished
being
long
yet
warmish.
While
also
a
hint
of
frost.
Speaking
of
frost,
have
you
seen
David
lately?
As
I
was
talking
to
a
man
who
knows
him
very
well,
and
he
said
to
me
that
David
was
almost
out
of
sight.
Luckily,
he
also
was
asking
me
about
a
visit
to
Balmoral
tomorrow.
What
do
you
think
I am going
to
say
now?
By
the
way,
I
was
cycling
happily
by
the
river
when
I
noticed
that
there
was
a
slight
pimple
on
the
saddle
of
my
lamb.
Therefore,
could
you
tell
the
chef
that
I
will
no
longer
put
my
trust
in
his
judgment?
So,
in
haste,
I
bid
you
a
fond
farewell.
Yours
partly.
and yet... sincerely...
thanking you for...
the...
ring?
Which
reminds
me...
of...
a...
happy...
incident...
when
we
fell
down
awkwardly
on
Sunday.
But
now
is
the time
to
sign
off.
So goodbye
from
Elbert.
Answer, Tim and Stephen.
Dear Bertie,
what
a
foolish
thing
you
have
been
doing
to
your
wife.
Chafing against my little intimate and pink yet wobbly yet imperial thingy. I
hope
that
you
in
time
will think
more
of
my
body than
you
seem
to
do
at
the
moment.
Comma. I
hope
to
deliver
tomorrow
in
instead
of
sleeping
with
Benjamin
the
prime
sheep.
Enclosing
a
ring
for
the
opening
of
your
tin,
which
is
below
the
bed
in which
we
have
slept
sometimes,
unless
we
have
had
a
headache. Speaking
of
which,
I
think
we
have
a
little
headache
which
has
overcome
my
poor
wish
to
inherit
the
opening
that
you
closed.
Years
ago. Yours
very
sincerely
and
insanely
and
drippingly
deliciously
finally.
Good night,
dear
Albert.
Mwah,
mwah.
Well,
it's very
nearly the end
of the
show, but
there's
just
time
for the Old
Testament
ball.
Samantha
has to
nip out
now. She's
off
to see her
new
gentleman friend,
who's
just qualified
as
a vicar.
Samantha
says she's hoping
he's
going to
practice
his Sermon
on
the Mount. So while she's away enjoying that, I'd like the teams to announce their late arrivals at the Old Testament ball. And Graham, will you start, please?
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Marmonts and their son, Tinker Marmonts.
Barry?
Mr. and Mrs. Beginning and their son, Ian.
Jim?
Mr. and Mrs., will you welcome, please? Mr. and Mrs. Calf and their overweight son, Ted. That's right, the fat Ted Calf.
Stephen.
Oh, just please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Babel and their daughter, Tara Babel.
Okay, anybody?
Really welcome, please, Sam Lila and Sam's son, Andy Lila.
Oh, look, Hosea.
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Walls came tumbling down, and their son, Andy.
And Mr. and Mrs. Tyne and their daughter, Phyllis.
Welcome, please, Ruth from the Archers and her husband, Noor.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Ismay Washpot. And their son, Moab Ismay Washpot.
Still available. Back.
Paul McCartney carrying a hive.
Oh, yes.
Containing his Maccabees.
Mr. and Mrs. Graven Image Shalt Thou Worship. And their daughter, Nora Graven Image.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, he's only gone and parted the Red Sea. And their son, Gordon Bennett, he's only gone and parted the Red Sea.
From Germany, Herr and Frau, up thy loins. And their son, Gerd.
And from Wales.
Wales?
Oh. From Wales. Oh. Mr. and Mrs. Anai, and their son, Ifar Anai.
He's funny looking, one eye's higher than the other.
Oh. Very welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Seeker's Allowance, and their son, Job.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the cyclist of time jumps the red light of fate, and the brothel keeper of doom throws his bike out after him, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the teams, Samantha, myself, and our fine audience at the London Coliseum, it's goodbye.
Cumbria Taylor, Barry Cragg, Graham Garden and Stephen Fry have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sale setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.